Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. One minute. And hello again. Welcome to Ron Siegel Radio. This is the show with no real boundaries as we discuss current events, financial markets, politics, sports, even poking fun at the rest of the media. This is the show that connects the dots of confusion delivered by conflicting media reports. We connect the dots so you know the actions you can take, how your business, your family can benefit from current events. Within every market, there are solutions as well as tremendous opportunities. You just need some trusted guidance. That's my message, and I will be delivering it every day. We have a very focused show. We only chat about items affecting your house and your bank account and anything I feel would benefit you. Let me remind you, if you ever have any home or finance-related questions, I am the consumer advocate looking out for you. And you can reach out to me directly at 800-306-1990, 800-306-1990, or ronsiegelradio.com. Just remember, that's the number you call anytime for assistance. When you call, that number comes directly to me first. There are no operators standing by. I am it.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
While I do have a great team, when it comes to developing a financing plan or plan to save you money, I personally work with you. Even if you don't have any needs today, save this number in your phone for future reference, 800-306-1990, 800-306-1990. Before we start our broadcast today, we obviously need to send our prayers, our thoughts to those in Dallas. The catastrophes of last night, just staggering, unbelievable what went on there. And all you can do is send your thoughts and prayers out to those folks. Unbelievable. But we still do celebrate here on Ron Siegel Radio National Milk Chocolate with Almonds Day. National Milk Chocolate with Almonds Day. It is today. I love milk chocolate with milk chocolate with almonds, milk chocolate with, it doesn't matter, just plain milk chocolate. That's my cup of tea. I do enjoy it, so we will celebrate that one today. We're looking at the markets today as well. We had a great jobs report. The headline, at least, is great. We'll see what happens as we dig into the jobs report a little bit further, and I'll tell you why we look at that. 287,000 new jobs added during the month of June, according to the Labor Department. The expectation was for 175,000 jobs. So why? How could there possibly be anything that we're looking at different there? Well, part of the problem is they reduced the number of new jobs. They adjusted the new jobs for May down to 11,000 new jobs. 11,000 new jobs created in the month of May. We need 150,000 new jobs every year in order just to keep pace with our population. So that's people that are coming into the workforce, less those that are retiring and passing on. We need to create 150,000 new jobs every month is our need. So if you take the 287,000 jobs that were created in the month of June, 287,000. Add the 11,000 for the month of May, you've got 298,000. So we're basically just barely treading water, almost treading water. That's basically the numbers that come up. Unemployment rose to 4.9%. Economists expected the unemployment to rise to 4.8, but we got a 4.9. Labor force participation rate rose just a touch, 0.1%. So there are a few more people going back into the workforce. Not a bad idea. That part is good news for us. So we're getting some more people that are finally starting to go back. Average hourly earnings fell slightly. So what we're seeing is that people are not getting great jobs. They're getting jobs, but not the great ones. So half the high-paying jobs in America now require skills that a lot of our people are not getting. We're still looking at, could there be a Federal Reserve rate hike on the horizon? Well, that is certainly a possibility. I would not think that we're going to see that, even though we got. And here's the reason why, is just as we shared last month that we had a horrible jobs number last month, and I will concur with the administration when they came out and they said, even though we've got a horrible jobs number, it's 1 month. Sometimes there's blips in 1 month, and the June number was actually done, they collected all the data, they came in with the information, and that data basically showed was done before the European Union vote to leave, or the British vote to leave the European Union. So when we look at all of those, take all of that into consideration, again, don't put too much into 1 month's number. That's why even when we talk about recession, we look at a 3 month average. We don't look at a single month when we look at any of these different numbers. So just remember that one of the things we are looking at, and we're going to talk about in depth this morning, is we're looking at what's going on still with the U.S. 10-year Treasury. So even though the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 200 points as I speak to you, and we're looking at oil being up just slightly 11 cents a barrel, the U.S. 10-year Treasury note is down a little bit, which means interest rates for your mortgage will be down a little bit. And we're going to talk a little bit later in the broadcast, why is it that interest rates are not down even further from the 30-year fixed rate loan? Now, Freddie Mac came out yesterday telling us the 30-year fixed rate loan is at 3.41%. That's their average, Freddie Mac's average, 3.41%. Pay a half a point, you can get that. They go and do a survey Monday through Wednesday every week. Most people send in their surveys right away so they get it done. And so it's basically looking at the early part of the week, and they come back 3.41. Now, if we had our normal at 1.76, 176 basis points for the 30-year fixed loan at 176 basis points over the 10-year Treasury, we'd be looking at a 30-year fixed rate on that Freddie Mac number at 3.17. Why aren't we there? Well, we'll talk about that later in the broadcast. But maybe we'll get there still. We'll see. A lot of other information in the news. I'm not going to go into a whole lot of the Dallas events. There's enough people talking about that this morning. You don't need me for that. But let's look at one of the articles I did see this morning that I was going to share with you, I was going to chat with you about, that I saw. And it's something I see all the time. How about you? Talking about the millennials, and they're more attached to their devices than they are to conversation or chatting with others in the area. Just amazing to me. You know, I was watching the news last night, and I don't know, you can watch it almost any night, and you'll see people that are doing, they'll put themselves in serious harm's way just so that they can sit there with their cell phones and take pictures. And I just wonder about that sometimes, how they're constantly looking at their smartphones, their devices. And I mean, you look at the tragedy in Minnesota. And while the gentleman is bleeding to death, ends up passing away, the other person in the car is busy doing a Facebook Live. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know a whole lot about first aid, but I was told when I was a Boy Scout, you know, one of the key things is you need to be to stop the bleeding, pressure on the bleeding. Well, how do you do that if you're busy doing a Facebook Live event, right? I mean, I do Facebook Live in the mornings prior to the broadcasts talking about what's going on, but in an emergency situation, the shooters last night, they're shooting and killing police officers. People are standing around taking video. Don't they know that the bullets can bounce? Nearly 4 in 10 millennials say they interact more with their smartphones than they do with their significant others, parents, friends, children, or coworkers, according to a survey of more than 1,000 people released by Bank of America. Again, nearly 4 in 10 millennials say they interact more with their smartphones. Really? Does that make any sense? I mean, I watch when I go out. I'll sometimes go out with my kids, and I basically tell them, hey, if you want to go out to dinner with me, fine. But you better make sure that the smartphone is in your pocket, because if you're constantly busy on the smartphone, I'm out. I'm leaving. You can deal with that, or you can have dinner with me. The problem is sometimes they say they want to have dinner with the smartphone and not me, but that's just their choice. That's a different issue. But unbelievable how we're more engaged with the devices than we are with each other. And it's just a sad commentary on where we are in our society nowadays. You are listening to Ron Siegel Radio, discussing your real estate current events and the financial markets. When we come back, what would you sacrifice to save and buy a home? We'll talk about it. How to get a debt collector to stop calling. Why banks aren't giving you a 3% 30-year fixed rate mortgage. All that and more. You can reach us anytime. Our off-air number, 800-306-1990, 800-306-1990, or ronsiegelradio.com. Connect with us. Facebook.com/Ron Siegel Radio, on Twitter at Ron Siegel. And if you miss any part of our broadcast, Ron Siegel 1 on YouTube, Ron Siegel the numeral 1 on YouTube. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a few. Welcome back to Ron Siegel Radio. Within every market, there are solutions as well as tremendous opportunities. You just need some trusted guidance. That's my message, and as your consumer advocate, I will be delivering it every day on Ron Siegel Radio or anytime at 800-306-1990, 800-306-1990. The real-time real estate segment today being brought to you by the area trusted real estate professionals of Ron Siegel Radio. Text PEAR to 79564. PEAR to 79564. That's Professional Equity Analysis Review. PEAR to 79564. One of the area trusted real estate professionals will reach out to you and get you the information you need, the equity position of your home, so you can make an educated decision. So what would you sacrifice to buy or to save for a new home? Well, it's very interesting. We're just going to post this infographic, Ron Siegel Radio, today. Saving to buy a new home, what would you be willing to sacrifice to buy sooner? This was a Bank of America study revealed that a majority of home buyers, especially those purchasing their first home, are looking for a place to call their own, put down roots, and make memories. And I love that terminology. A friend of mine wrote a book called Making Memories, the Todd Duncan. They value the emotional benefits of owning a home as much as the financial ones. 95% of first-time buyers say they are willing to make sacrifices to make home ownership a reality. So what are the sacrifices? 54% new clothes, 51% new car, 50% my social life, 44% say traveling, 36% features in my dream home. So they're willing to give up a little bit to have a home. 17% are willing to give up a desired location to have a home. 76% of experienced buyers were willing to make sacrifices the last time they bought. They gave up on traveling, new cars, and they gave up on features. So 95% of the first-time buyers willing to sacrifice to make home ownership a reality. How about you? The top thing that buyers willing to sacrifice is clothing. I can tell you this, it takes a whole lot of clothing to buy a new house, but that's what people are saying. They are willing to sacrifice clothing to get a new home. That is the Real Time Real Estate segment. Again, we'll post this right there, facebook.com/ Ron Siegel Radio, so you can see the whole report on your own. But let's talk a little bit more about buying your own home. And every quarter, we come out with a new guide, and we call it Things to Consider When Buying a Home. So the summer 2016 edition is available. If you would like a free copy, all you need to do is text HBG, Home Buyer's Guide, HBG, to 79564. You can get a copy of it. If you go to mbelinks.com/HBG, you can get a copy of your home buyer's guide there as well. And let's talk about some of the reasons that you want to buy a home sooner rather than later. Number one, prices will continue to rise. CoreLogic's latest home price index reports that home prices have appreciated 6.7% over the last 12 months. 6.7%. So those of you that say to me, hey, Ron, you always say that now's the time to buy. Well, I don't always say that, but if you had listened to me over the last 12 months, you'd have got 6.7% appreciation in your home. So think about what that means just from a dollars and cents standpoint, 6.7%. So if you bought a $500,000 house and you do 6.7% of that over the last year, you're going to make a boatload of money, right? Where else are you going to get that kind of a return? You're looking at $33,500 appreciation, and you only get it if you sell, right? But think about this. What if you put down 10% and you only had a $50,000 down payment on that home. So if you have $33,500 divided by 50,000, you've got a 67% return on your capital investment. Not appreciation on the property, because you're putting $50,000 down. So you've got a 67% return in the first year. Will that happen this coming year? I don't know. CoreLogic seems to think it will. Chapman University says in California, Orange County especially, 4.6%. So what if you got that on the return? 4.6% on that $50,000 investment. You see what I'm saying? When you're talking about real estate, you're talking about multipliers that don't happen in any other investment, or rarely do they happen in other investments. So if you take that same $500,000 and you're getting a 4.6% return on it, think about where your numbers come out. $23,000 is your return. You take that and divide that by your $50,000 investment, divided by $50,000 on this on air, which I shouldn't be doing, gives you a 4.46% return on investment, right? Think about these numbers. You're not going to get 46% in the stock market. I look, even the market's up today. It's up 193 points as we talk. But we're looking at so far for the year, for 6 months, the stock market was basically, it was at 16.5. Now it's at 18,000, call it give or take. So you've got than 10% versus 67% or 46%. Do you see why people are willing to sacrifice to own their own house? Just the thought process for you. Mortgage interest rates. Now, I'm sharing with you that I'm sharing from every treetop that I can scream this from. Get involved, get in touch with your mortgage professional. If you haven't already done that, if you don't have one, give me a call and I'll put you in touch with one. And get your home loans restructured. See if it even makes sense. I looked at one for a friend of mine today before I came on air, and it was going to add $500 to his payment to go from 26 years remaining on his current loan to a 15-year loan. It's going to add $500 a month. He can afford it. So he's going to cut 11 years worth of payments off of his loan by just looking and making a simple adjustment based on current interest rates. Have you looked at anything like that? Does it make sense to you? Gentleman 3 years ago did a loan, and we helped him out. He was did a 15-year loan 3 years ago. Now it makes sense to do a 10-year loan. Payment's going to go down further. Think about those things. Now, Freddie Mac, Mortgage Bankers Association, National Association of Realtors, all of them saying interest rates are going to go up. Yes, they've been saying that for a long time. Eventually, they're going to be right. Now, what do you do? How do you know if you're going to get the bottom? You're not. We try to get the best prices possible with the best education and educated guidance that can be provided, but maybe they'll go down even further. What do you do then? Restructure again. You look at the numbers. You say, does it make sense for me and my family to restructure again? What is the cost-benefit analysis? And make a business decision. I know it's your home, and we don't like to think of it as a business, but it's your largest investment. It's your largest liability. You got to think of it from a financial standpoint of what's in the best interest of you and your family. I looked at a 10-year loan for somebody just the other day, and it was in the high 2% range in a 10-year loan, high twos. What are you paying? Does it make sense for you? All answers it. Only an analysis will give you the good guidance to make the right decision for your family. Now, when we talk about the idea here, which is where we started this morning, is what would you sacrifice to buy a home? The idea here is you are making a mortgage payment. The question is, whose mortgage payment do you want to make? Do you want to make your mortgage payment, or do you prefer making somebody else's mortgage payment? Because you have to have housing. If you have to have housing, you're making somebody's mortgage payment. Again, I question you. Whose mortgage payment do you want to make? If you're wanting to make somebody else's, which was also the term for a landlord, you're making their mortgage payment. Well, continue right along because they're also making profit on you. So you can have, say, a $2,000 a month mortgage payment. Over the next 5 years, you're going to waste, you're going to burn, you're going to blow $120,000. Get no tax write-off, no appreciation, no equity build. Versus if you do it, go and buy a $300,000 house, you're probably going to have an after-tax payment very close to that same $2,000. I haven't looked it up, so I'm just an educated guess. It'll probably be very close to the same $2,000 a month, but you're going to build up equity. You're going to get appreciation. So according to the Joint Center for Housing Studies at Harvard University, households must consume housing whether they own or rent. Not even accounting for more favorable tax treatment of owning, homeowners pay debt service to pay down their own principal, while households that rent pay down the principal of a landlord plus a rate of return. Unquote. We'll talk more about that when we come back. You're listening to Ron Siegel Radio, discussing your real estate current events and the financial markets. Why banks aren't giving you a 3% 30-year fixed rate loan. We'll talk about that. How to get debt collectors to stop calling. We will chat about that and more on what would you sacrifice to own your own home. You can reach us anytime. Off air number 800-306-1990, 800-306-1990, or ronsiegelradio.com. Connect with us, facebook.com/Ron Siegel Radio, on Twitter @Ron Siegel. Stay tuned. We will be back in just a few. Welcome back to Ron Siegel Radio. Within every market, there are solutions as well as tremendous opportunities. You just need some trusted guidance. That's my message. And as your consumer advocate, I will be delivering it every day on Ron Siegel Radio or anytime. At 800-306-1990, 800-306-1990. The Mortgage Minute today being brought to you by your household board of directors. Text ATP to 79564, ATP to 79564, and fill out the survey. You'll be introduced once we get an idea of, and it's free, so it doesn't cost a thing. Once we know who your needs are, who your household board of directors should be composed of, we'll make the introductions. real estate, mortgage, maybe a reverse mortgage, insurance, credit repair, CPAs, financial planners, tax preparers, attorneys, bankruptcy, estate, divorce, all people that you may want to know that you might really need. And again, it's free. Text ATP to 79564, ATP to 79564, and we will introduce you. So why banks aren't giving you a 3% loan? So here's something I chat about with you on a regular basis, and I wanted to get this information to you. There's something called mortgage-backed securities, and it gets kind of technical, and I'm not going to go into it. But the idea behind the mortgage-backed securities, that's what really drives interest rates, is what are mortgage-backed securities doing today? But mortgage-backed securities are very tightly related to the U.S. 10-year Treasury. That's why I report that U.S. 10-year Treasury to you on a regular basis. What is the U.S. 10-year Treasury doing? And where is the U.S. 10-year? It's easier to follow that than mortgage-backed securities. Now, industry professionals, they follow the mortgage-backed securities. I get an update on my phone every time it changes, or every hour at least, to figure out what's going on in the mortgage-backed securities. But here's the issue. Historically, mortgage-backed securities are 1.76% above the U.S. 10-year Treasury, 1.76 above the U.S. 10-year Treasury. So I can go on right now and look at MarketWatch, and it tells me that as of right this minute, as we're broadcasting live, the U.S. 10-year Treasury is at 1.378, call it 1.38. So if you take that 1.38 and add to that the 1.76, it tells us that we should be at a 3.14 on a 30-year fixed rate loan. 3.14, is that would be historically where we should be. That's what that Freddie Mac, if that Freddie Mac number would held true, that's where we would be right now, is at that 3.14. But we're not there. Freddie Mac came out yesterday and said that they're at 3.41. So why aren't we there? What's going on? Well, a lot of it has to do with there's two different issues here. Number one, the numbers are so inexpensive right now. Interest rates are so low. There is a lot of demand for people that are looking at restructuring their home loans. Refinance applications rose, I think, like 20% last week, according to the Mortgage Bankers Association numbers. So the banks don't have to go all the way down to where they could be going. The banks are looking at it saying, you know something, we've been nailed with a tremendous amount of new regulation. There are some people, some of the ownership of certain companies that I've talked to, that have said interest rates would be 1% cheaper. So that would be at 2.41 if it wasn't for the amount of compliance and regulation and oversight that is going into the marketplace right now. And no matter what the government wants to tell us, whenever the government comes in and puts new regulation on, we hear Nancy Pelosi coming up and saying that we've got to have more regulation, we've got to have more oversight, that Dodd-Frank is good.
But we have to pass the bill so that you can find out what is in it.
Well, that's true. We pass the bill, we find out what's in it. What do we find out? We find out that we've got a new process for doing the disclosures. Well, when you have that new process for doing disclosures, there is a potential for error. When there's a potential for error, what do businesses do? They hedge. And when they hedge, that the definition of hedging in that instance means they increase the rate, they increase their margins to cover for potential errors. Now, in this instance, what the potential errors are is it means that the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau comes in and fines the lenders. And every time they put a fine on there, they end up coming back and they say, well, they got to pay for that somehow. How do they pay for it? Well, they're not going to decrease the owner's salaries. They're not going to decrease the shareholders' benefits. They increase pricing as long as they can get away with it. If they can increase pricing for as long as they can get away with it, that's really where their whole benefit is. And they say, you know something, I'm going to increase prices. Right now, we're seeing that the Freddie Mac rate, 3.41, it's a great rate, but it's too high. Well, if it's 10% too high, who's paying for it? You are. So guess what? It's not a benefit to you. You're really getting stuck because of the regulation. Now, when we went in 2009, we had this issue, and it was basically an issue where they said the problem with the mortgage meltdown is that the appraisers and the loan officers were colluding. Were there some of them that were colluding? I'm sure there were. I'm sure there still are. But the vast majority are good people. The vast majority were not colluding. They were going and they were saying, okay, what's the value of the property? They get the value of the property. They move on and they say, okay, we can do a loan based on the products that are on the marketplace, the value of the property, and they go from there. Well, okay, that's well and good. But now they put this wall between the loan officer and the appraiser so that the loan officer cannot communicate with the appraiser. Now, what does that do? The appraiser has to go through a management company in the middle. Okay, so let's explore what that really means to you, the consumer. And does Washington really care about you, the consumer?
But we have to pass the bill so that you can find out what is in it.
So an appraisal that used to cost $375 now goes to $475. Does that benefit you in any way? No. The appraiser is making less money, and the management company takes their cut. Okay, so right off the bat, costs are going up to you. The other side of it is you don't get the results until after you've paid in many instances. Well, what value is that to you? Previously, what would end up happening is a loan officer would call the appraisers that he worked with or she worked with. And they'd say, Mr. Appraiser, I've got Mrs. Smith and she wants to do a loan for her house. And do you think it's going to appraise at $420,000? The appraiser would say, it's close. And I'm telling you from experience, I've done it for years and years. They would say it's close. They would say yes. Or they would say not a chance in the world. Well, if it's not a chance in the world, you call back the client and you say, you know something? I just spoke to the appraiser and he said, we're not going to get that. Okay, you don't spend the money then. The appraiser doesn't want to go out and do an appraisal that is not going to please his client, which is the loan officer. And the loan officer does not want to take the money of the consumer that's not going to get a loan. But the regulation mandated it. So now what happens is, or the other options at that time, were basically the appraiser would say, maybe. But then you can call back the client and say, you know something, we're close. Do we want to do this or not? And the client then, along with the guidance from the loan officer, can make an educated decision. That's what I want to do with it. I want to be able to make an educated decision or guide the consumer to make an educated decision. That's what it's all about right there, is everybody making educated decisions on business principles. But now, because of regulation, no. You don't get to make an educated decision. The loan officer doesn't get to vet the appraiser. You don't know whether the appraiser is doing a good job or bad job. And the consumer is paying more money for a crapshoot. Does that make any sense? So that part of it, these are all the ideas. These are all the issues that are going through in what's happening with the appraisal area of our society in this day and age. And I'm going to suggest to you, it's not for your benefit. What the real benefit here is for politicians, both sides of the aisle, I'm not getting political, but politicians on both sides of the aisle, go back to their constituents and say, we passed something or we tried to stop something. Good, doesn't matter if it's good or bad. Their whole idea was they were just able to say something. They did something. And that's what a lot of the politicians want to do, is just say, we took action. We're looking out for you. The consequences, the unintended consequences, that's a different issue. You're listening to Ron Siegel Radio, discussing your real estate, current events, and the financial markets. When we come back, more on what would you sacrifice to save to buy a home and how to get a debt collector to stop calling. You can reach us anytime. Call the off-air number, 800-306-1990, 800-306-1990, or ronsiegelradio.com. Connect with us, facebook.com/Ron Siegel Radio. On Twitter, at Ron Siegel. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a few. Welcome back to Ron Siegel Radio. Within every market, there are solutions as well as tremendous opportunities. You just need some trusted guidance. That's my message. And as your consumer advocate, I will be delivering it every day on Ron Siegel Radio or anytime at 800-306-1990, 800-306-1990. The Your Credit Matters segment today being brought to you by CreditSanitizer.com. You have a credit report. It is wrong. What are you doing about it? Credit Sanitizer has the solution for you. You just have to go to the website, check them out, and take action. Yes, it's the top two buttons on the left. The far left, I believe it's still the same one. That's the annual program, the annual subscription. The one in the middle, a monthly subscription. Still going to take you about the same amount of time to get your credit repairs corrected. How to get a debt collector to stop calling. Well, if money's tight, you've fallen behind on your bills, you're likely feeling a lot of stress. And if you're getting frequent phone calls from a persistent debt collector on top of it, the stress might get amplified. There are a few things you can do to get the debt collector to stop. The debt collectors do need to follow instructions or follow the law. And a lot of them believe that most of us understand the law. So they do sometimes things that might be considered a violation. So attempt to resolve the problem. And I'm going to say this over and over again in this, as I share this information with you. Everything you do needs to be documented, and any agreements you make needs to be in writing. Because what ends up happening, again, how does it, you know, a debt collector gets your debts, how they get many instances? Frequently what ends up happening is one of two things. Either they will buy them for pennies on the dollar, or they go to the debtor, they go to the creditor, and they say, I want a percentage of whatever I collect, and they get a pretty high percentage. So their incentive, they don't make any money if they don't resolve the problem. Now, in many instances, I've seen this many, many times, is people will negotiate with a debt collector. They say, okay, I'll pay you 20, 30, 40, 50 cents on the dollar, a percentage of what is owed. And they come to an agreement, they send in the check, and then the debt collection company sells that debt to somebody else. And you think you've already paid it. You've already made that payment. You've already taken care of it because you made an agreement with somebody. And the fact of the matter is they don't understand that. They don't know anything about it. And if you don't have it in writing, you're in trouble. Secondly, request they stop calling. Once you've spoken with the collector and established what they're calling about, you may decide you don't want them to contact you again. If this is the case, you need to let them know that. And you need to do it in writing. The law requires, and I'm not a lawyer, I'm not giving you legal advice, but the law requires a written letter asking for the communication to stop. A verbal request is not enough unless it is to inform the debt collector that counsel has been retained. If a lawyer has been retained, then the debt collector must stop calling. They've got to do their communication with the lawyer. So you want to send the original letter to the collector, but it's a good idea to make a copy for your files. Keep a copy of everything. It is illegal for a collector to contact you again after receiving your request unless they are letting you know they won't be contacting you again or they are taking a different kind of action, like filing a lawsuit, which they have the right to do. Again, just because the calls does not mean that you're clear to the debt. Understand your rights. As a consumer, you have rights that protect you from being hassled by a debt collector. Even if the calls are coming from a legitimate collection company, the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, FDCPA, is in place to protect you from letting these calls disrupt your life.
But we have to pass the bill so that you can find out what is in it.
And yes, they are trying to make some changes to these laws. A debt collector cannot lie, cheat, or force a consumer to pay their debts. Doing any of those things, even if the violation is technical, can lead to a violation of the federal law governing debt collectors. Debt collectors do not want to have these lawsuits. Again, and you could say to them, if you want, you know, it's nothing against it. If you tell them, you find out that it's a debt collector calling, and you say, I am recording this call. Mike, I would venture to guess that the tone of the call will change drastically, and they might even just hang up. Because most of the time, they've got some sort of a script they're working from, and they really don't understand these laws. But when you tell them, hey, I'm recording the call, then they know that you are aware of certain legalities and aware of certain rights. How debt affects your credit. Collection accounts can have a major impact on your credit scores. If you're concerned about how your debt could be affecting your credit, get a copy of your credit report. Again, you want the annualcreditreport.com. You want a legitimate FICO report. If you see anything that says free credit report, that means you're not getting a real FICO score, a real FICO report. Even the free credit report that you're entitled to each year is going to give you your credit report. Yes, that's free. But as soon as you upgrade it or enhance it to the point of getting FICO scores, the legitimate FICO scores, then there's going to be some fees involved in it. And nothing saying is wrong with that. I'm just saying be aware, but you should always be. That's why that the $87 report from Credit Sanitizer, and again, this report's brought to you by creditsanitizer.com, that $87 a month program that's in the middle top box, it gives you a ton of different services, including the assistance of getting your credit report cleared, corrected. And again, we've talked about the, I think the report that I saw recently was $200,000 over a lifetime. Bad credit can cost you. And I think that's probably a fairly conservative number. I think it's more than $200,000, but that's just what the report is showing. So that is Your Credit Matters, again, brought to you by creditsanitizer.com. And continuing our conversation this morning about buying a home and why I think it's so important for you to be looking at that right here, right now, getting your game plan in order. And again, you are certainly free to get a copy of the Things to Consider When Buying a Home. It's our free guide that we put out every quarter. Text HBG, Home Buyer's Guide, to 79564, or you can go to mbelinks.com/HBG and get a copy of Your Home Buyer's Guide totally free. It's about a 25-page book that we redo it every quarter to give you the most current data that we can possibly come up with. Now, one of the things I'm going to tell you right off, the very first step, if you are thinking about saving money to buy a home, even if you're thinking about it, give me a call. Let me put you in touch with a mortgage professional. That is your first step, talking to a mortgage. Why is that your first step? Well, they're going to look at your – they're going to – even if you're not thinking about buying till next year, I'm going to say get a loan application in right now. part of the loan application is going to be getting a credit report. They will run a credit report for you. Generally, that time, they'll run a credit report. It's a tri-merge report that is a legitimate FICO score, not a FACO score, but it is the legitimate FICO score. And you get that report and you start working on a game plan. And you say, okay, here's what I have in savings, because that's all part of your loan application. Here's what your credit report is. Maybe there are modifications that you can do to get your credit scores increased. It might be just a matter of reallocating the exact same money that you're spending today, strategically putting it on specific credit cards so that you get your credit scores increased, which gets you a better interest rate down the road. Now, you start talking about, okay, we're dealing with all of that. You get pre-approved for the loan. Then the mortgage professional will put you in touch with a real estate professional in the area that you want to work in, you want to live in. They know them. They're vetting them to see if they're good for you. They're vetting them to make sure that they're good for the marketplace. You want to start with the mortgage professional because it might be that you're ready in 6 months. Maybe you could buy a house now and you didn't even know it. Maybe you're all set and you thought that you had to wait because there are a vast majority of the people that have a misconception about what they need from the standpoint of credit scores and what they need from the standpoint of down payment. They've got the numbers wrong. We'll chat about it. Give me a call. I'd be happy to share information with you and get you going here. And be sure to set that first radio preset button to come back here every day to join Ron Siegel Radio, where we only speak about items affecting your house and your bank account. Thanks to all of our sponsors. A big thanks to Steve, who's engineering us today. And, of course, a special thanks to you for spending a little bit of your day with us. That's all for Ron Siegel Radio. Again, if you have any questions, call me anytime, 800-306-1990, 800-306-1990, or ronsiegelradio.com. And remember, make a bunch of money, help a bunch of people, have a bunch of fun. Have a great day. We'll talk to you next time on Ron Siegel Radio.